Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's that time again. You called me live, called us live on the Wednesday evening. And it's snowy, stormy December. I'm Eric Citizen Payne. This is Kay's Son and Friends. You've reached us again. We're doing it live again, like I said, with the fellas, the historian Byron Saunders, the newsman Wayne Gilman. And it is Wednesday. What's gone on since last Wednesday? A lot of stuff has happened, as you probably have been paying attention if you listen to us. Like, for example, really the biggest thing is that the Electoral College confirmed Joe Biden. Everybody, all sane people, knew that he was elected president, but they confirmed it. Good thing about this whole process and Trump lied about everything is that people became educated about the Electoral College. First time you ever seen it televised, and anybody had any clue about that's how it went down. And that's kind of what I think about everything that pertains to our society, our community, that everybody should be fully aware. That's how I was raised. So all the rest of y'all got to step your game up. So got to start understanding the society that you live in and what freedom and that responsibility really means. We're walking around here in a modern-day society, not understanding really just living and surviving is some real stuff, right? Your ancestors 50, 100 years ago when you had horse and buggies or maybe cars were not that good or just black people had to watch their ass to survive even more. You know, people were more self-reliant, more realized what it took, what the day-to-day of survival, of being self-reliant took. That's what I'm saying. So as we move around and are able to get access to all this information, you know, moving around, I mean, on the Internet and stuff like that, technology being what it is, allowing us to have access to a lot of different things, it behooves us, and you start to realize just how much information in the world has been you've been ignorant of, and you know, when you talk about our political process, if you don't have nobody to tell you how it goes down, like a lot of people don't, that's why you have a lot of these people who I'm not going to call them all idiots. Some choose to be idiots, I guess, because it's I think that's a choice now. Because you have to choose to be a dumbass because there's so much opportunity to have access to so much information coming back to the technology, like I'm saying. So that's how you're able to find out about stuff. A lot more people are finding about the Electoral College that never even knew that existed, that whole system was down, much less how it went down, how we were able to witness it the other day on TV, that was the process. And my point is, people got to get educated about what's going on in society, how your government works, and all that. Because then you can know what to target, what to change when it ain't working for you, what to support when it is working for you. And that's a message to a lot of people that have been traditionally left out of the process. We had Texas trying to sue. Let me just get to the big. Texas tried to sue Joe, right? Texas lawsuit tried to sue the other states because they didn't like the way those other states voted. That's basically it. Turned out that the Texas AG is a little bit nutty guy, and that probably was a calculated move with the president. But still, just the fact that he got away with even being able to present that, which he really didn't present it at the court, rejected that. I'm going to get to the fellas in a minute. But the fact that he was able to get 13 other attorney generals, state attorney generals around the country, and 126 congresspeople to be down with him and support that effort is something we need to talk about. Bill Barr resigning because he acknowledged that Joe Biden won the election. And then we have Mitch McConnell finally recognizing Joe Biden. All of this stuff going on in 1 week. Wow. Wow. It moves fast when it starts getting hot. You know, when the lights come on, you know how the roaches scatter. When it starts getting hot, all the rats run, all that kind of stuff. We're going to get into each and every one of those subjects, but I want to get the fellas in here. Got Byron waiting on the line here. We're going to get to Wayne in a minute, too, when he jumps in. Brother Byron, how you doing this evening?
Well, my brother, as you know, down here in the South Pole, Washington,
mm-hmm.
D.C., we are actually beginning to see the effects of the Reddit that's poured into a cesspool of, you know what, sugar, honey, iced tea, and watch it dissolve. One interesting piece of history, which I really want to bring to our attention, that happened this past Sunday. It was in 1868. It was the ratification of the 14th Amendment. And as you get into this conversation about those 17 attorney generals and 126 red states, basically, you know, congresspersons who decided they were going to do the same thing that was done in 1860, 1861, when South Carolina was the first to secede from the Union, precursor to what we now know as the Civil War. But in 1860,
slow down, back it up. So you're saying, we need you to back up on that. You're saying the same thing happened when?
1860, 61. It was when the South Carolina decided it was going to come into the well of Congress and secede from the United States at that time. The 14th Amendment was given to us July 9, 1868. It was adopted. Now, the 14th Amendment clearly states, and I'm going to read it so that you understand why this attempted coup d'etat by those 126 congresspersons and the 17 attorney generals is literally a violation of their sworn oath to abide by the rules of the Constitution, and technically they should be censored, if not be immediately
right.
removed from their office.
Got it. But give us, before you do that
yes.
today,
yes.
back then, what was the context? So those guys wanted to, in 1867, you said, South Carolina came into the Congress and they wanted to succeed because of what? What was going on around that,
that
time? Break it down for people
Calhoun,
who might not know.
Yeah, 1860, the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Calhoun, informed the nation that they would secede from the United States and its other states. But here's what's important to understand.
For what? Because of what was going on at the time?
Because
people
of
might not know. Because
they did not want to lose their accountability to slavery. They wanted to stay in the system of plantation slavery. And they decided it was best for them to secede from the United States, and thus the Civil War began.
Certain states were succeeding, or was South Carolina the first one? Just
South Carolina was
understand.
Okay. Now,
and that started other states to succeed from the Union, and that's what started the Civil War,
correct.
Is what you're saying.
In order for them to come back into the Union of the United States after the Civil War, they had to pledge allegiance to the Constitution, or they would not be allowed to come back in. There were certain preconceived conditions for them to rejoin the United States of America. And under the 14th Amendment, that's what that was all about. The amendment was bitterly contested, particularly by the states of the defeated Confederacy, which were forced to ratify it in order to regain representation in Congress.
To come back
into
and be a part of the nation again. And the 14th Amendment was stating what?
It was basically saying you have to swear allegiance to the United States of America, or you cannot come back into its union.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
how
the 14th
United
Amendment
States
was giving slaves the right to vote. Was 14?
That's exactly right. It was also used in the Brown versus Board of Education regarding racial segregation, Roe v. Wade regarding abortion, Bush versus Gore regarding the 2000 presidential election, and Obergefell versus Hodges regarding same-sex marriage. 14th Amendment, Eric, is an important amendment to the establishment and the solidity of our United States of America. And for those 126 congresspersons who signed on as a friend to the court at the Supreme Court to try to get the Supreme Court to overturn over 20 million votes, primarily African American votes. Get that. Make no mistake about it. This was an intent to discredit 20 million votes of people of color. Now, you tell me, in that sense, why would we even want Congress? Why are they not even going to be brought up on charges? Literally. They were contesting their own victories in some of the states that they won.
Right, willing to notify the victories of some of their own people in order to keep Trump in power. All persons, 14th Amendment, I'm just looking at the first section here. I looked it up. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, subject to this jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws.
It's a very clear amendment, and these gentlemen, as well attorney generals, who by their oath, when they were sworn into office, to abide and protect and go keep our Constitution and rule of laws in their hands to make sure it is followed by everyone. They, in essence, created an opportunity for them to secede from our nation 2021. And in the state legislature of Texas, the week after the Supreme Court rejected their appeal, Texas indicated they were going to put into their legislation an opportunity to secede from the United States of America. Now, remember, this is the same Texas that took 2 years to let its slaves know that
Let's put a pin in that right there before we get too deep, because I know Wayne wants to jump into this conversation too. We got the legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing this evening?
I'm just fine, man. I've had a COVID moment. You know, I for some reason felt today was either Tuesday or Thursday or what have you, and I clearly forgot about the program this evening. So forgive me, but Byron is dead on point. It was exactly what I was planning on talking about from the very beginning. These idiots need to be ostracized, and forgive me for going that far. I try to keep it at a certain level, but, 126 of them, there should be a campaign right now. Back in the day, we used to give out the phone numbers, but, of course, it's just way too many members of Congress to have people calling their individual offices. But, you know,
well,
that's true. I feel, because they're all in different, localities and municipalities and all that, and just individual districts. But they need to be called out. They need the very things that they're talking about how the vote was stolen. You know, let's find out if the vote was stolen or what little machinations were put together to keep them in office, you know. And I realize to a certain extent, this is why I still have no respect for McConnell for what he's done. But at the end of the day, after the electoral vote yesterday, he had no choice but to come out and say, because this is the process. What this knucklehead wants to do, again my anger, He wants to destroy the democracy. And I'm so glad the people in Florida there next to Mar-a-Lago are staging a campaign to make sure that he's not coming back there to call that his official residence once he's taken from, or it may be a point like that where he is removed from office physically. You know, I know he's not wanted back here in New York, and there will probably be daily demonstrations if they found him at Trump Plaza or what have you. But God he had the presence of mind about 40 years ago to sign some agreement where he will never use the property in Florida as his personal residence, even though he owns it. And I think that was one of the stipulations that was required in the purchasing agreement. And, at least I feel there's some Floridians. There may be some people who supported his candidacy, but they don't want him there.
Not really familiar with that bit of news, but talking about in terms of what we're talking about with the 126, with all of these Congress people signing on and these 17 AGs, and you're right, both of you guys are right, there should be some sort of punishment for these people. Byron, I was thinking the same exact thing, that how ironic that it was Texas that was bringing this lawsuit to nullify the votes of some 20 million people, mostly black and brown. And I was thought
exactly
the same thing. How ironic that it was Texas being the state that didn't tell the slaves they were free until 2 years after the fact. And so it leads us to believe certain things, at least from my standpoint, about the Republican.
You know, there's clearly, I don't mean to cut you off, but there is clearly a link. There, you know, what you're saying, I didn't even think about Juneteenth, but there is clearly, historically, if you just connect the dots, you can see the mentality it has not changed to a certain extent. And I can't wait to see what goes on in Georgia. You know, I wish I could be in a position to cast a ballot, because this guy's got to go. I mean, he and his cronies, they all should be, hopefully there will be a seismic shift. Even though there were a few who were able to get back into to take some congressional seats in the last election, but there are enough conscientious people out there who see the impact of what Donald Trump has done, and Lord only knows what happens from here on out. You know, I mean, hopefully the movement will die, but if he goes and gets his wish, because that's another thing too. There needs to be a change, and hopefully there will be a change in the leadership of the FCC, that if they bring back Clyburn's daughter or find somebody else, I don't think that decision has been announced yet, but they really got to clamp down, because I really feel it's the right-wing media that is destroying what vestiges of democracy we have left.
Well, what Trump is going to do, and what he plans to do, and they just talked about, I guess, on One America, One Air America, something like that. They were running some of his responses in an interview where they were trying to promote the fact that they still won, and the Republicans are still fighting, and he's exhausting all his efforts. Even, you know, a couple of people in his cabinet, certainly McEnany, was forced to say, you know, they're exhausting all of their options. And even Kelly Loeffler, I just saw a clip with her watching the Joy Reid show, where the reporter kept asking her, "Will you say Joe Biden?" She was like, "Well, the president would not say it." I mean, it was one of those comedic politician political moments where she would not say, I will say Joe Biden. She would always say something else, like the president deserves his right to exhaust all options, and I'm looking forward to my campaign and this and that, but just would not say it, and that was the crazy part about it. And to put a button in the Texas AG lawsuit case, you know, some of the stuff that these guys have done or tried to do, Trump and the cronies and the whole gang of them, some of the things they've tried to do, you've literally had to say, "Hey, can you do that? Is that allowed?" You know, because people are we're so used to a normal operating procedure or a regular order, as they call it down there, that some of the stuff that the guy came in doing and some of the stuff he would say is like, wait a minute, you can't, can you do that? You know, and it's like, it's like the notion, just like him floating the actually saying out loud, I could probably pardon myself if I wanted to. And people are like, wait a minute, can you do, and he starts talking his bullshit and saying, you know, by the orders of the powers of the presidency, whoop, whoop, this and that. And before you know it, some people are saying, well, maybe you can pardon yourself. And it's just, you get caught up in the bullshit. It's like, no. You can't pardon yourself.
Well,
you can't. Someone can't sit in judgment of themselves. And the whole reason it's not written down somewhere is because they probably thought, we thought it was inherent, you jackasses, that someone could sit there and say, I didn't do it. You know? So, I mean, you know, just
exactly.
The fact that's floated amongst him and his people, and even and trying to nullify the Electoral College vote. I mean, you know, at least I'm thinking that the Republican Party, what they need to do, I mean, and his boy Bill Barr recognizing the fact and then immediately resigning after Trump trashed him, you know. I think that what happens is that people don't really know exactly the process of how this stuff is done. So, you know, they're ignorant to the fact and they're playing their hatred. I think what's happening with the Republican Party is that they need to decide if they talk about, I think you might have mentioned it earlier, Byron, the civil war within the Republican Party. I think they might want to splinter their party and just go with some are, you know, the racists and the supremacists and the other ones that tried to do the right thing, albeit at the last minute, like the ones in Georgia. They can call them or the Steve Schmitz of the world or some of the other Republicans that are Chris Krebs, people like that, call themselves the Patriot Republican Party. Because clearly it's some of the discussions about these people not acknowledging democracy and following a guy who's attacked democracy. Not only does a guy believe in continuing the system of white supremacy, he wants to have a system of one white man supremacy. You know, I mean, you know, the autocracy they're talking about with Trump and just a very few select people of a select group of people running things and using the masses as their tool. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you, I mean, there's one thing I want to point out. I just heard yesterday, in fact, he did it on one of the NBC shows, where Smith publicly has come out now and has abandoned his GOP car, and he's now a full-fledged Democrat. He said he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give him credit, because, I mean, the deal is he took a lot of whiplash. He saw the changes that were going on. He's been around for a while. I remember meeting him just before I exited Air America some years ago. He started out there because he saw what was going on with the Bush presidency and some of the inconsistencies there. But this, again, and it exemplifies just about everything you were just talking about a moment ago, Eric, that the American electorate is largely ignorant. There are people who are not aware. So as long as they're getting their information and you come up there with a cogent argument as to why you feel that you were done in by the process, and you beat that long and strong enough, you're going to have people all of a sudden listening. And this is what's going on. There are a lot of people that, you know, that old Byron's walking around the face of the universe on a regular basis, and a lot of us who have gotten older and have been through the, you know, the process before, they don't want to think that we have to repeat this over and over again, but there are pockets in our society that just seem to hold true to a certain value system and traditions that their forefathers, you know, did. And there's fear, F-E-A-R, against all the miscegenation that's going on in this country, all the integration, all the blending of what's going on with different cultures. I mean, I have to say, you know, Biden is wants to go down as transition president. And from what I see of his cabinet, although there's some people who are not totally sanguine with everything that's been said, you know, he is reflecting so far what America looks like. And this is what, you know, they're all about, you know, I mean, from the other side, there's a certain amount of elitism, and they certainly don't want to give that privilege up, you know, because they've been able to get away with it. As long as they can keep that sea of ignorance going, and they got a place to vent, you know, and talk about it and act like as if we've done something wrong. I'm just saying this is how the system is supposed to work, you know?
Yeah, the system is working
that
way.
One
of the foundations of the system is capitalism and white supremacy. So white supremacy is one of the pillars of this, one of the pillars.
Yeah.
The foundation. Yeah, that's without a doubt. No, yeah, or maybe that's without a doubt, white supremacy. And then the economy and the elitism and you know, that was built around, or maybe white supremacy was used to build that up. But white supremacy is one of the foundational principles, or else they wouldn't work so hard to keep black people from gaining some sort of equitable standing in our society. And it wouldn't be so intricately woven in to the fabric of every aspect of our interaction with each other and with ourselves. So clearly the white supremacy is a serious part of society. And those, even white people who reject that, are attacked and threatened threatened with physical harm and violence to be made to be eradicated. Like the Secretary of State there, the woman, the Secretary of State, the governor, things that would work to break down that. And we talk about, you know, the media and the media and, you know, certain segments of the population, but there's people who don't want to be educated. They don't want to face the facts. They don't even aren't even willing to consider that the opposing opinion might have be based somewhere on some sort of factual basis. And so when you get to people like that who just write off just automatically, then there's no reasoning with them, and they're choosing their fate. They're choosing to live in a world. I mean, clearly there's a certain segment of the population that is choosing a white supremacist system and choosing to perpetuate that. There's a part of the society that uses that as a tool to keep the society going, and like I said, uses it not only against people of color, but also against other white people who don't fall in line to keep the system that is set up to continue to the gears to move and making money for people who are making who have made money the way it's set up. So, you know, once people are committed to get doing away with that, then they have to be committed. It's kind of like a dual prong process. You got to be committed to doing away with the elitism, right, and the classism, because the racism is used as a tool to support that. If you could separate, divide, and conquer, you know, the white and the black, then mm-hmm. there's an easier way to direct your forces and your influences.
Now,
which
gentlemen,
is what Trump is
I've
doing.
I got to give you another piece of history that's mind-blowing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you about a name. And you tell me if you recognize this name, okay? The name of John Langston. Do you know that name? Do you know? Yes. Now, this, of course, is ultimately the great-great-grandfather of Langston Hughes, okay?
Mm, right.
But what you don't know is that in 1854, this black man helped to create the Republican Party with the aid of his brothers Gideon and Charles Langston, organized anti-slavery societies at both the state and local levels. He helped runaway slaves to escape along the Ohio border as part of the Underground Railroad. Now, hold that piece of history. 1860, the South Carolina that seceded was initiated by a Democrat by the name of John Calhoun. And you talk about flipping the switch. You see, this is where America knows history. John Calhoun, that's right, South Carolina political Democrat. All right. This is why it's so important to understand and recognize the history of our country. And when you don't teach it and you don't understand the facts and the truth, you get it twisted so that in 2021 you got Republicans who don't even know the birth of their own party trying to overthrow a system that would totally negate 20 million African-American votes. Why are African-Americans so tied to the Republican Party post-1960? Now you know.
You know, when you hear stories like that, you're so proud. You know, I'm so proud of black folks. I mean, with all of the things and the suffering that we've been through, we are so resilient. I mean, that in itself, because I had forgotten, I knew I heard the name John Langston before, and I had a feeling it was connected to Langston Hughes. But, you know, you just jogged my memory, Byron, and I tell you, I look at that, even though the party that he formed is not the party of what it is today. But the bottom line is that if these people knew their history, all those who flipped, you know, and it's still in amazement as to why there's so many, a preponderance of black folk in the Democratic Party today, is because of all the changes that's happened 60, 70 years ago.
Yeah.
But
so I want to correct myself.
You mentioned that, thinking about the sister who came up with the vaccine to put an end to this pandemic that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying we are such great people, and I know I'm going to sound like I'm very nationalistic, but damn it, you know, what this guy is doing, and I'm not saying two wrongs make it right, but it just goes to show our greatness in spite of all that has gone on. It's not to say that we hadn't had the best intentions of making this system work properly.
I just had a moment
as you mentioned that.
Right. John Langston was not the great-great-grandfather. He was the great-uncle of the poet Langston Hughes.
Oh.
All right? So, I mean, it's literally, because if we don't know these stories and this history and the facts and the truth, no wonder we're walking around in circles and confusion, total confusion. And we that's right, because at the point at which if those 126 people knew who was the originator of their party, they would have to really understand the shame that they have created for themselves and know that it's all about race and their racist ideology and racist supremacy that they have declared themselves and have literally, I would not seek them. I would declare them their seats in the House of Representatives null and void.
Hey, start the campaign. We need to start the campaign. That should be something that the Black Congressional Caucus, all those who, you know, and particularly that guy Scalise, I forgot what state he's from, and it was somebody black who came to his rescue when he was being shot on that baseball field a few years ago.
Two black,
you know?
Male,
I mean,
and
you
a female. Two black security guards, a male and a female.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
you go.
You
going
to add your name to that crap? Please.
Well, he's from Louisiana.
Now, think about this, guys. It took 9 months from January to December, okay, it took 12 months basically to come up with a vaccine created by way of a brilliant African American woman at the National Institutes of Health who is helping to save the country. Now, check this out. A state assembly person in the city of New York wants to get it declared that the racism is mental illness. And if so, just like bipolarism, just like depression, just like schizophrenia, if it is indeed a mental illness, Senator Kevin Parker wants to declare racism as a public health crisis. And if that's the case, there should be and can be a vaccine to take and give and dispense is those who are infected with that brain sickness of racism where it can be altered. Do we have
what vaccine would that be, brother? What vaccine would that be?
Well, you know, it would have to be some serious intervention because these white people are sick. They're really sick.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you the context of their sickness. The Proud Boys came into D.C. this past weekend with the permission by the Parks Department who issued them the permit. And do you know they randomly destroyed property on two of the oldest African-American churches in this city?
Oh,
and if you didn't know about that,
no,
that too is part of the reason. And not only that, they violated the code that we have in our city. Our city is mandated to wear masks. And we allow them to come into the city as a spreader event. And they destroyed property of two of the oldest African-American churches in this city.
But they didn't really go into the neighborhood, right, B? I mean, because...
in the neighborhood. Washington, D.C., gentlemen, is 70% black at one time.
Right,
and these
I understand.
Are not
I, you know what I'm saying,
are...
though. You know what I'm saying, right? If you go down, down in that area down there where all of the official area is, that's people don't really live there. And what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of time people want to come and protest and stuff like that, but when you get a little further, you know what I'm talking about, right?
So I do know what you're talking about, but they had to walk.
My question is, did they go into the community in the hood and say, yeah, we're Proud Boys here, what's up?
Yeah.
Or were they kind of in the safe area, like people march around the safe area, they're not really looking for trouble? That's what I want.
It's reminiscent, like the pastor said. She said this reminds her of how the KKK would come into our communities and burn our churches and our facilities. They're still doing it in the 21st century. The two churches are downtown Washington, D.C. Yes, they're not at Black Lives Matter Plaza, but if you walk 14 blocks east of there, west of there, you come into these two churches. This is right downtown D.C.
I see.
I hear that.
I'm saying, are there people living around there? You know, I'm wondering, as I've driven around D.C. and see certain places, where people actually live and where some of these more landmark places are, there's a little bit of separation there, and that's the question I was asking.
Well, that's Georgetown. That's Georgetown, where most rich white people live. But this was right down there.
No, I'm not talking about that, bro. I'm talking about where, like for example, where the congressman lives over there near the stadium, National Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Even though you have the National Stadium up the street and the pier down there and the water in the area there's a little community. Where if cats was going to be walking through, there might be a little static, you know, at least there used to be in the area where if they wanted to walk through and make their protests and do all that kind of crazy stuff, that it might be met with a little resistance as opposed to some other areas of D.C. where you have, you know, the theater here, whatever. It's a little bit separated.
Mm-hmm.
You get my point? So I'm just wondering.
I get your point. If that were the case, they weren't over because down where the National Stadium is, that's a gentrified community and high rises.
Right,
and
where those churches in the black community is all I'm saying. Where they're living in,
and not in the black community down there, but because this was like you know where Chinatown is in D.C.
Vaguely, yeah.
Vaguely, okay, over near 7th Avenue. 7th Avenue and what's that, Rhode Island?
I know where
North
the movie
Capitol.
Theater is and the restaurants. See, that's what I'm talking about. People don't, there's no real apartments. It's not like New York.
No.
It's like, bang, apartments across the street. That area is like restaurants. There's these big kind of monumental type of buildings. That's what I'm asking, where, you know,
That's Georgetown. They had to leave Black Lives Matter Plaza and walk towards 14th Street and 16th Street, and And literally, there are still black people living in those communities. You know where Daddy Devine's church is? Where Walter Fauntleroy's church is? It's over in that community. So we're talking about right downtown D.C. I'm not talking about over here by Catholic University or Southeast D.C. where most black people live now. I'm talking about right down in the heart of where the Greyhound bus station used to be, over in that area. Okay? So this is, and they had to walk, they had to literally, as a group of thugs, go find this, I mean, it literally walked to this church because it wasn't in their permit to be in that area. Okay, they walked outside the permit area, and then it's like they discovered that they were in front of a black church because the black church had Black Lives Matter on the building, and they took the sign down and burned it.
Right, I saw about that. Yep,
that's right. Now, my concern is this: you allow them to come into this city, violate the protocols for COVID, without wearing masks, in creating a spreader event. And then you let these go marauding and destroy property of our African-American community. Now, you tell me there's no systemic racism, but here in the nation's capital, I have to be subjected to this kind of reality? It's unacceptable.
Well, didn't the mayor's office have to sign off on that? You know, they just couldn't go down there without.
No, because their permit was relegated to a federal site. Black Lives Matter.
Like around Lincoln Park.
That's right.
I believe that's what they call it. Yeah.
That's right. So it was not allowed to come up and find other places. And then there was there were moments where a couple people got stabbed. I saw no arrest. I saw no arrest of the Proud Boys.
Yeah,
no,
I heard that. And then there's some question if they met with Trump.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, this is the kind of things that we have to reconcile as we move forward. And I'm glad the vaccine is doing its thing, you know, as it's going to bring some balance back to our and sobriety back to our institutional designs and the people that respect the rule of law. But we have got a huge Mr. Biden and Madam Harris have a huge agenda, because if we are allowing people to come into our nation's capital and do destructive things like this with impunity, it's the same reason that we need to make sure Barr is arrested and put in jail. It's the same reason why Mitch McConnell needs to be forced to face eviction from his perched element. He is worse than Trump. Trump is done.
Yeah.
He's toast. But Mitch McConnell got to go. And the people of Georgia, make sure you vote. Make sure move those two, because Kelly Loeffler was not an elected official. She was appointed.
Right.
Purdue, both of them backing Trump, need to be brought up on charges as well. They're violating their oath as well. So, I mean, at some point, we cannot allow these people to just be walking around with impunity to the rule of law and the Constitution.
Well, they've been walking around with it for 400 years. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as we try to figure out a way through this, is that and the argument or the some of the thoughts expressed that I hear expressed at some stations are the shock of how some of these individuals have threatened our democracy, and how could they do this? And but I'm shocked at that shock, because they have democracy hasn't been practiced. You know, I mean, just reading the 14th Amendment, the whole thing about the 14th Amendment was that it was giving citizenship to the former slaves, and that the white people didn't want that, because that meant an equal footing somewhat, or at least a step towards equal footing. And so they want democracy only as far as it pertains to them, And then that's where the democracy ends, because that's when they're willing to overthrow it. That's when these people are willing to, you know, I mean, they're talking about doing away with democracy in spite, doing away with democracy for a kind of Trumpism in the Republican Party, where everybody just follows and worships him. And the fact that the QAnon conspiracy theories have gone to the point where they actually think that he's like a spiritual messenger, and the Democratic Party is the evil. It's like, who thinks that this dude is actually on a mission from God? So when you have individuals who actually are thinking like that, are so blind and so much into occultism, there's no, you know, these people are gone, you know?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers want to talk about, well, you know, Trump, he also got 80 million, 74 million votes. So what? Joe got 80 million.
Yeah,
he got 80 million.
Exactly.
And plus, America has been operating on having a majority or a large percentage of the country be racist and be down with savagery and brutality to a certain segment of people. So this is what I'm saying. Everybody being so surprised that this underbelly was here and is showing its face is like, okay, they're showing their face, but they've been showing their face over the years. Since Wayne, you and my mother were on the radio, even before that, they would show their face. You guys would report on it. You know, I mean, just had the anniversary of like Yusef Hawkins or something the other day, right? There was something
right.
They were referencing those old days, man. So these people have been making it plain. It's a matter of whether we're going to demand from the Democratic Party, the party that we're supporting, is to stop trusting these people, to saying Joe is going to reach out to a Republican and put a Republican in his cabinet. And Joy was saying Democratic presidents are always the ones who try to reach out and reach across the divide and bridge over, and the Republicans never do it. And you know why that never happens? And you know why? It's white supremacy falling into the political
process.
They
have that agenda. Exactly.
You know, it's white supremacy
and
falling into the political process, and they don't give a shit, and the people that keep giving them chances to get back in the fold, we can't, like Steve Schmidt said, he's a Democrat now, and he said, this Republican Party cannot have an opportunity to be in the position of ruling again or be in the majority again, because they don't believe in democracy.
That's
they don't
right.
believe in a democracy, and what's happening because of that, what's fueling that, a driving force of fueling that, is the evening out of equity in the United States in terms of us as a people, black and brown, getting equal footing and equal rights.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't make it so embedded in every aspect of everything, you know.
I agree. I mean. Yeah,
we should not
right.
trust the Republicans ever again. It's like you guys said, we should have a hit list. You know, we should have a target list of all these Republicans that the Democratic Party should go after and run people against. Every single one of that 126.
That's
you know,
right. absolutely. The
I mean, there should be information, just like they did, just like they all went to that lady's house in Michigan and stood outside her house.
Yeah.
Because she's exercised doing the full responsibilities of her job.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, they're trying to intimidate. They're trying to, you know, they believe in supremacy. They don't believe in democracy. They believe in supremacy.
I do have some good news to share with you guys. I got to share this. This is like, I remember last week I had our special guest on from the Brooklyn Fashion
right.
Incubator, Inc. Gentlemen, they did their fundraiser was tonight, and I watched the video presentation of their fundraiser and the work that they have done. I got to send you all a link to this. It is so good. I mean, it is high quality. And at the end, you're not going to believe, they ended it with about 6 minutes of our show tagged into their video presentation. And the banner was running underneath K-Sun and friends, K-Sun and friends. Eric, we have that kind of PR. Isn't that fantastic?
That's great.
I will send you a link, and when you see it, you're going to be floored, because you're going to be like, oh, my God, they really gave us props.
Yeah. It was interesting. I learned a lot that. Yeah.
And I mean, their stuff is good. We're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I really. I was so impressed. I wasn't expecting it. It blew my mind because it was professionally done, and the video is so well constructed. It's a good piece to raise funds and initiatives about how entrepreneurs in our community, as small businesses, minorities, men and women, Latinos and African Americans, have a place where they can incubate their businesses, learning the ins and outs of a market that's both international and national. And we're talking about a $1 billion industry, because the fashion industry is, I mean, crazy $1 billion industry.
Yeah,
I
want to bring you back to something that really shows you just how brilliant and how much an industry like that has been documented. Go back to The Color Purple, and when Celie came back, when Whoopi Goldberg's character got her divorce and her ex-husband died, left her the money, what did she open? She opened up a shop making clothes for our people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not something that is new, it's something that's been established a long time in our community. The people who made the sewing of shoes, African American, invented the shoelace machine, the shoemaking machine. And the fact that our show was given that kind of credit for helping them, it's really an accomplishment, and it's a salute to your mother. It's a salute to you, Wayne Gilman. It's a salute to you, Eric, because we do this. We don't get paid to do this, ladies and gentlemen. And they asked me, do we have a sponsor? Because
no.
I remember your mom was always talking about getting us a sponsor and giving us access to helping us be commercial and better prepared and keep this show going. So thank you, Eric and Wayne, and for taking the baton and moving it forward, because you know when she had that aneurysm on that show, that shocked all of us. But this is
now you're hitting me, man. You know, I hate that I have her picture on my wall. I can't talk. I'm sorry. You just hit
but
me.
It's the reason
I'm
why
sorry.
This is why we do this, because we have been given an anointing, a blessing.
Well, that was the purpose of. I mean, you know, just continuing doing what you guys were doing, Wayne, and inner city broadcasting. That's what the community does.
Yeah.
You know, the community comes together. This is a community that we were raised in. You know, I mean, coming through around the time period that we came through. You know, the community took care of itself, and that's really the key thing about it, is getting us back to that place where the community is taking care of itself, and that dollar is circulating in the community before it leaves. And a lot of people, you know, I'm in these type of incubators and creating these business building opportunities and symposiums. I'm seeing a lot of. I think I just saw on the internet somewhere that is a football player that was sponsoring one of those type of scenarios, incubator, business building, you know, and that's really the cool thing, that a lot more of our people now are getting, people that are making money, that are in positions to help, are finding ways to help out and put their money in, invest their money now. And a lot of it's, you know, which is making me happy, is a lot of these brothers that are athletes and entertainers, and they're understanding, you know, and just regular people that understand that there's a whole wealth of businesses that are out there in the world, and they could come together and kind of make a difference for people and help each other. And that's what's really the cool thing about it, you know. And as we to apply that to the society that we have to live in, you know, to educate people about how the society works, standpoint, how the government works, how the laws work, the rights that they have, and also the historical aspect of a lot of these things and how they came to fruition helps us move the needle forward. Even, you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have been just as surprised as I have that what surprises me is the level of education that's available on the internet, social media, in terms of Black history, but also in terms of how many, when I see some of these lectures about the federal housing discrimination against homeowners or Black GIs coming, a lot of these symposiums and lectures are being given by white people, you know, about the racism within the system, about the racism here. That understanding, I guess, is the point I'm making, the understanding educational level that's starting to cross between the races and understand how we ended up here is a little bit enlightening and heartening to see people get into that. Just like, you know, as much as we wanted to see the divide in Georgia, you know, it was some Georgia Republicans who, you know, they held the line. They did their job.
Yeah,
you know, and those guys, you know, Donnie and Trump and those guys weren't factoring on that one guy who wasn't down with the plan, you know, or those couple of individuals who are like, no, I'm a patriot, man. You know, I'm a Republican. I might be whatever you want to call me, but the rules say to do it like this, and I'm going to follow the rules. And that's the type of cat you hate when you try to put the fix in. That dude that wants to follow the doggone rules.
So they need to be asked, are you going to vote for those two clowns that are running in your party? See, because at the point in which if you are denouncing your leader of your party and the two people that are supposed to be representing your party are walking in the same mud steps that your president is, you say, are y'all going to vote for these two people? Because if not, declare to your party to vote for the other candidate. Let's be real. Cause there's no sense. I mean, at the point at which, if you're going to be friends, it's not about your party. It's about respect of your nation. And the fact
that's what they did. I'm just glad they did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good start. But we're going to have to reach across the aisle and say enough of the bullshit, y'all. We either going to be about democracy, or you're going to have people like these clowns that are trying to overthrow our democracy. And at this point, thank you, Republicans, for voting for Biden and Harris and turning Georgia blue.
Right. Clearly, a certain number of Republicans who voted blue. And like these two guys, the Secretary of State and the other guy that...
Yeah.
You know, they did their job, but the Secretary of State said he was voting for the two Republican senators. It's just that, you know, he hoped they win, and he voted for Trump. He said he voted for Trump twice, but he wasn't. Listen, I don't know whether they're doing it because they're patriotic or whether they're doing it because if they got caught later on, their shit's against the law and their ass will be going to jail. Because, you know, when those real ramifications start coming into play, you know, it's just like all these people are backing out of, you know, like Bill Barr and Kemp and all these people that aren't going along with the complete Trump coup attempt because, you know, it's illegal. And they're looking at it as getting caught with their illegal activities. So they're not willing to, you know, they're not willing to risk going to jail for this guy, you know.
Right.
But you damn sure believe they're willing to do everything else up until the very edge of it. You know, and it ain't work out for them, so they're like, they're true politicians. Because you see how quickly Mitch McConnell's now recognizing Joe Biden as the president-elect. Once the electors confirmed that Barr resigned, Mitch started calling the president, having him, even though the crazy guy, what's his face, tried to have the hearings today. But anyway, we're at the end of the show, guys. You know, if you guys want to give a couple of closing words, Wayne, you want to tell the peoples what you feel about them until you see them again?
Hey, I just want to say, you know, we have to keep hope alive. You know, that's it. You know, it's just it's sobering that we have to go through all this on a regular basis.
Yeah, that sucks. There it is. A couple of final words from the legendary newsman, Brother Byron Saunders, the historian.
Yes, sir. Keep your eyes on the prize, my people. And the prize is democracy. When you vote, you have the power to make change happen. Thank you for using your power. Now let's seal the deal going into the 2021. Peace and love, always.
Brother Byron Saunders, we'll talk to you again. Talk to you again soon. Everybody, this is Kay, Son, and Friends. We just wanted to get a couple of those thoughts out that we've been thinking about. It's a lot of news, a lot more going on every day. We need you to pay attention and to tell your people in Georgia to get out there and vote because, you know, there's some people out there that they don't really want you to vote. So I want to thank you for listening. Join us again. Listen to our episodes anytime you want because they're archived and they're just sitting there for you. So I'm Kay, Son. This is Kay, Son, and Friends. We'll be talking to you again. The struggle continues. Power to the people. Public Enemy.
We did him a full of colors.